I've got a question when we start this morning, and it's something that I've been asking God a lot and been challenging. Well, God challenged me. He said, do you want to be in the room with me? Okay. And I was thinking that was a funny question. And then I was reminded of a story, and we're not going to read the story. I'm just starting with that. The sermon topic this morning is your kingdom come, or thy kingdom come, like the old King of Jameth speaketh. Okay, thy kingdom cometh, you know. Your kingdom come. God has taught us that his kingdom has come, and we've been hearing a lot in the last couple of weeks about God's kingdom coming. But what does it mean when God's kingdom comes? It means that Jesus, the King, reigns in our hearts, in our lives, and then also through our lives. And so God has been asking me this question. He said, do you want to be in the room with me? I was thinking, that's a weird question. And then I was reminded of the story of Jesus when he raised a child from the dead. There was a stage when there were lots of crowds around Jesus, and they were all coming, and everybody was standing in the house, and the people were mourning, and lots of people had great opinions. And then at a stage, everybody went into this room where the kid was that was dead, and then Jesus said to them, okay, some of you must go and stand outside, and some of you can remain inside. And there are obviously lots of crowds outside the house as well. So there are different groupings when it comes to God and God working in our lives. And some are there, especially the parents, they were allowed to be there, and some of the disciples, where Jesus did the miracle. Jesus prayed, the kid rose from the dead and things, and now they went outside, and now just outside the room, and the others celebrated. They were so excited about, woo, what's happening here, you know? It's so exciting. Things are happening. And then there were others that were probably critical, and they said, the Bible says that they said, no, he cast out demons by the devil, all of that stuff. So there are lots of different people around Jesus, even today in his church. And unfortunately, sometimes Jesus must say to some people, look here, you're going to celebrate the miracle, but you can't be there when it happens. You must just wait outside. We're going to talk to you about how it happened a little bit later. And this is not to put condemnation. This is actually to say to Jesus today, Lord, I want to be inside the room when you pray. I want to be there where things happen. How many of you want to be there when God does stuff? Oh, hallelujah. Half of you. So raise your hand. Raise both hands if that's you. Okay, great. Yeah, no. Half Marcy. That's just like okay. But the most amazing thing is God wants us to be there, because do you know what? Wherever Jesus is, miracles and healings and the supernatural will happen. Why? Because the kingdom comes when he's there. Because he cannot be somebody else than who he is. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a savior. So if Jesus is there, people will get healed. If Jesus is not there, people won't get healed. So Jesus is here, and if you're sick in your body this morning, he's already started healing you. Because we don't need to pray for you. If he's there, things will happen if we open up our hearts and say, Lord, I want to be in the room with you today. Are you with me? Thank you very much. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when we talk about the kingdom, Paul comes and he says, verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, we can engage God on one of two levels this morning. We can always start to think intellectually, and there's nothing wrong with engaging. We must worship God with our soul, with our mind, with our everything. But Paul says, the most learned guy in Scripture, he says, when I came to you, I did not come to you with my eloquence. I did not come to you with my great knowledge. I did not come with anything else except to demonstrate to you by the Holy Spirit that God is a powerful God. He said, I'm actually nothing. He says, I can boast in nothing. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And he said it over and over. And although he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and he was very eloquent and he was very learned, he said, no, I don't boast in those things. But when I come to you, I determined to know only one thing among you, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. He later said, you know, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. being conformed to his death. So he says, there's something I want to know, the power of his resurrection. And I want to say to us this morning that there's a birthright for the church of God, and many times we are walking away from our birthright. Now, when you go, I was in Israel with some Angus a couple of weeks ago, and was for me one of the moments that really changed my life wasn't the sermon of the guy who led a church of 70,000 people in the Amazon that you cannot even get to by road. Wasn't his sermon, wasn't it? The whole thing that changed me was the more than 1,000 Brazilians and the more than 1,000 Chinese Christians that were there. And we were there about an hour and a half before the time, and they were already worshiping. The Brazilians are very loud people, yeah? But they were lying on the floor, crying out to God. They were preparing their hearts for the moment of meeting with God. Just an hour and a half. The Chinese, they didn't understand a word of English, but they were also there. And they worshipped so loud that at a stage we couldn't hear the band from the front, and it was like a massive band, you know? Because the Chinese were just going for God. They were just so excited to be there, to not be underground in the church and be persecuted. Yeah, they've got freedom. So they walk around with their Chinese flags. They wave their Bibles. They go berserk, you know, up and down. And they just say, this is freedom, you know? And in the Western church, we're like, let's see how good the dancers are today. Yeah? Let's see what show these people can put up to. But it was amazing, you know, the Brazilian people, they were lying in the dust, and it's like, yeah, at the Dead Sea, you know, and it was like, you just smell this like salty stuff and everything all over, and they were just lying and worshiping. So at the end, we waited about an hour because there were like 6,000 people there to just get out, and the Brazilians just didn't want to go, and the Chinese were just going to go for a party through the night, yeah? And it was such an amazing thing to me to be there and to understand that our hunger and our perception of God will determine who God can be in our lives. And that's why Paul says, you know, I didn't come to you with these great things. If you've come to be here this morning to be intellectually satisfied, you will probably be a little bit satisfied. But if you come to experience God every day, if you come to know only one thing, and that's Christ and Him crucified, things are going to start to happen. Now, I want to tell you that God is a God of miracles. How many of you agreed? It's not miracles and the supernatural is not something that's added to our lives as Christians, and it's sort of like something that happens on the side. Every one of us sitting here, if you're a believer, Scripture says in Mark 16 that if you believe, then He says, these signs and wonders shall follow those who believe. How many of you believe in Jesus? Okay. Keep your hands raised, keep your hands raised. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. In my name they'll heal the sick. In my name the serpents will bite them and they'll raise the dead. Okay, just lower your hands. How many of you raised the dead, Jesus raised the dead through you this week? Raise your hand. Okay, there's one person. Some people raise from the dead every morning when they wake up and throw off the spirit of duvet and overcome the spirit of snooze button, you know. But some people, yeah. But it's amazing. How many of you prayed for the sick this week and they got healed? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 5, 6. How many of you are sick in this room? How many of you got a sick? You've got some sort of pain that you don't like in your body. Just raise your hand very high. Okay, just raise it very high. Okay, about 40% of the church. Now, we must ask a question, why is the church sick? Because everywhere I go, 50% of people in the church are sick. Well, very simply because Christ isn't in the room. We don't allow Him to heal. And yet 40% of us are sick. But we trust that this morning, we're going to just say to God, God, wherever we gather together, whether it's in our small group, whether it's at foundations, wherever we come together in my quiet time, Lord, You're the healer. You're the deliverer. Just do what you do, naturally, if I can say it like that. So God is a God of miracles. In the Old Testament, we see Joshua, Joseph, Elijah, Moses, lots of them. You can just, the slide is somewhere on there. You know, Joseph had a dream and interpreted dreams, and Joshua made the sun stand still, and things happened. Elijah brought the fire down. Lots of things happened in the Old Testament. Moses, you know, sometimes we think that Moses was God's secret agent to deliver the Egyptians. You know, God had this massive scheme of delivering the Israelites from the Egyptians. Did I say Egyptians? The Israelites, okay? God delivered the Israelites by sneaking the 4 million Jews out of Egypt in the middle of the night. God had this massive secret plan, so he's going to sneak them out in the middle of the night. He said to Moses, Moses, what you need to do is go to all the Israelites, give them a little paper, do it secretly, and then you tell them, 12 o'clock tonight, we are going to, we're going to sneak out all these Israelites, the Jews. Okay? So now he says, what you need to do at 3 minutes before 12, you can just, it's not that one, okay? At 3 minutes before 12, what you do is tell everybody, tiptoe out of Egypt. Don't say a word. 4 million of you, just get out of Egypt. If somebody asks you where you're going, you're just going to say, I'm going to fetch water. But let's do a sneaky thing out here. God doesn't do stuff like that. Did you know that? The most amazing thing is, God says to Moses, Moses, go to Pharaoh and go and tell him that he must let my people go. Massive confrontation of a kingdom coming. Then Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh didn't want to let go. But you know what? Then God said to him, okay, Moses, do you know when you come up to them, there's a little staff, you're going to throw this staff, and they're going to do the same. And for the first 3 miracles, they do the same. The Egyptian magicians do exactly the same. They also throw their staff. It also becomes snakes. But you know what was the most powerful thing of the deliverance? Was the fact that those 10 plagues that God sent to Egypt represented the 10 gods that the Egyptians worshipped. It was a direct confrontation with evil and with the other gods. The firstborn, the last one, the firstborn son was always worshipped and was seen as the god, the sun god. It was the highlight of every Egyptian's, or the pinnacle of worship for the Egyptians, was the right of the firstborn. He's actually a god. And so God walks right onto the scene. He doesn't sneak out his people. He says, we're going to confront every other kingdom that stands against my kingdom. Hello, and your God has never changed. He's still the same. He confronts sickness in our lives. He confronts things in our lives. And he wants us to walk in and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Won't you say that? Lord, let your kingdom come. Okay, I'm going to start picking up some speed. Are you with me? So we're talking about a God of miracles. In the Old Testament, we see it. In the New Testament, we see it all over the place. Sometimes we just think that the greatest miracles were the healings or the raising from the dead. But there were lots of other miracles that were actually much more profound in the New Testament. And the first one, and the one that is very important in the days that we are going in, is very simply the virgin birth. Scripture says that if you don't believe in the virgin birth, or if somebody says that Jesus was not born of the Holy Spirit and Mary coming together supernaturally, then you submit to the spirit of the Antichrist. If you walk around and there's a theologian or somebody there, the first question you must ask them about their doctrine is, say, do you believe Jesus was born of a virgin? If they say no, walk away, because they're not from God. Because why is it such a miracle, the virgin birth? Why was it the greatest miracle, one of the 2 greatest miracles in the New Testament? It's very simply because you and I cannot be saved if Jesus came from a natural man and a natural woman. Because then he would have had a sinful nature. He would have entered this world with a sinful nature. And he didn't. He was born of God and by the human woman, but it was supernatural. He did not receive our nature, and that's why he could go to the cross and die for us. Can somebody say amen? So at the crux, at the center of what you and I believe as Christians, is an unexplainable miracle. You cannot say you're a believer here this morning and not believe in miracles. Otherwise, you must deny the birth of Jesus. Do you see where I'm coming from now? So right at the beginning, what we believe is we serve a God of miracles. Jesus came into this world by a miracle, not by human effort, not by human nature, not by human trying. The second thing, great miracle in the New Testament, is the forgiveness of a sinner. And that's why people wanted to crucify Jesus. Because he said, go and your sins are forgiven. Now the theologian said, oh, this can't work. What on earth? But the most amazing thing that you and I can experience is to be washed clean from our sins when we come into salvation, when we get born again. When we stand before God, a guilty person deserving of eternal damnation, and God says, I declare you to be innocent, although you are actually guilty. That's what we call justification. You stand there, you've got sin, and you deserve punishment, and then you come before God, he washes you clean, he saves you, and he justifies you. He says to you, I treat you as if you have never done those sins. That's what justification means. God declares the guilty to be innocent as if they have never done it. So why do you remind yourself of the sins all the time that you have done in the past? Because God does not remember them. He treats you as if you have never done those sins. I want you to think quickly of the greatest sin that you have ever committed in your life before knowing Christ. And they, have you got it? Oh, now some people have, were like, whoa, there was like a shock, electricity going through. No, don't go there. Okay, have you got that idea of the worst thing that you have ever done? If you've come to Christ, you know what? You haven't done it. When God looks at you, you have done it in the physical, but God has taken it away. He says, I've declared you not guilty of that. But only by the blood of Jesus. Are you with me this morning? That's a miracle. Because no man can do that for you. Only a God that is alive. Only a God that is living. Only a God that is powerful. Another great miracle is the death on the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross, coming there and then praying to the Father. And then we see what happened. It's like, I always almost want to say it like this. The Eskom wasn't around those days, but the electricity of the earth and the atmosphere failed, okay? There was a short circuit. Some of the stuff didn't come together. It was just, it tripped. Electricity tripped on the cross. That's why everything went dark, everything for 3 hours. It just went, kush. The earth could not handle what happened on the cross because of our sins being taken on Jesus. And so just everything short-circuit. Everything that was in the natural order was interrupted when Jesus said, here I am, and the Father broke relationship with him, turned his face away from him, and then judged the sin on Jesus. That is one of the most amazing moments of the earth and of eternity, right there. The first and only time when God the Father broke relationship with his Son was on the cross, right there. And he took our sins upon himself. The earth short-circuited. The nature short-circuited for 3 hours. But then when the Roman guy came by, and after 3 hours of just darkness and silence and everybody just standing there, Scripture doesn't say what happened in those 3 hours, but it was like, I don't know if everybody was just like froze. Because it says just for 3 hours there was not. Just imagine everything around us goes dark now for 3 hours. We'll panic or we'll run around, but Scripture doesn't say what happened. All it says after that, the Roman guy that crucified Jesus, put him on the cross, said these words, surely you are the Son of God. It had such an effect on the people around the cross that they realized, without any words, without any preaching, that this man is the Son of God. Another miracle, something we can look to. And I want to especially talk to older believers here that have known God for a long time. If we lose focus of the cross, if we lose focus of what Jesus has done, we are deceived. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He writes, he says, the cross, we have romanticized the cross. We have put the cross on our, you know, on a little string around our neck. And then he says, oh, beautiful cross. Oh, wonderful cross. There's nothing wonderful about the cross. the cross is an instrument of destruction and death. And when you and I need to take up our cross every day, it means we need to die to ourselves, to our own comfort zone. It's an instrument of destruction. It was never designed to be romanticized. Is that a bit odd? That's the truth. But at the other side of the cross is resurrection. Woo! Lekker! Resurrection. And just think about this. Jesus rose from the dead. And now there's some stuff happening in Jerusalem. Just go and read the scriptures. People start to come out of the graves. Scripture says that people all over the place appeared. People that has already died, they appeared in humanly form. They started walking the streets of Jerusalem. The most amazing thing happened there. It was like there was an interaction between the dead and the living after Jesus' coming out of the grave. Scripture says everywhere people appear that were already dead. Whew. Okay. So we thought the cross was just a natural little thing happening. No. It was the pinnacle of history of what we believe. And then we see lots of signs and wonders all over the place. And signs and wonders, I love what people say about signs and wonders. Signs and wonders make you wonder. The first million years in heaven, you're going to stand like this. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's no flies in heaven. Did you know that? Otherwise, they would have had a roaring time. But just like, there's no trauma counseling in heaven. Did you know that? But we're all just going to stand there. Some of us are going to do like this. Oh, I never felt like gold can sleep so soft. For the first 3 million years, you're just going to lie there. Think how great God is. Then we're going to get to work. But you know what? In essence, the God that we serve is not a religious God. He's not a dead God. That's why when Peter came and Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Because he experienced God not as a dead God, not as a church God, not as a religious God, but a living God. If something is living, it lives. Turn to somebody next to you and ask them, are you living? Now, do you know what? That blob of meat sitting next to you is not a dead corpse. That thing next to you is called a person. It's living. That thing, that blob of flesh sitting there next to you, breathes in and out without even thinking. He doesn't think, breathe, in, out, in, out, in. You know, it's not like the Queen of England that goes like, you know, they say when she drives down the road, there's a tape or a CD playing in the car that says, wave, pearls, smile. Wave, pearls. So she waves at everybody. Then when the CD says pearls, smile. It's not a robot. No, that's just a joke. Sorry, Queen. Sorry, Elizabeth. Whatever her name is, Victoria. But yeah, we're not robots. But did you know this thing that you're living in, this thing, this blob of meat, lives. There's constant change. There's constant movement. There's constant breathing. There's constant. You shed lots of stuff here. You know. You know, all of your skin changes, your blood. There's blood coming from your heart, pumping through all of this stuff while you just sit there. And you don't think about it. You just live. Hello. So do you know how much natural faith you have just to sit here? You didn't think up, you know, this morning, I'm going to live. Let me get 3 rules on how to live, how to breathe normally today. Now you stand in front of the mirror and you say, breathe. And then you like speak about breathing, and then you think about, oh, at least, you know, I haven't eaten for 40 days. I must at least eat today, you know. It's just like your stomach says, hungry, and you think, eat that, you know? You're like a monster sometimes. Zzz, you know, comes the monster. Because we just consume this stuff. But, you know, we just like, now I think a little bit about this stuff. You know, we're like weird. But we're living. You're alive as you're sitting there. And you know what? We're just made in the image of a living God. He's always at work. He's always doing things. He's always sharing his heart. He doesn't think about it. The same with healing, the same with deliverance. He doesn't think, oh, today I feel like I want to be a healing God. So, let's zoom over where I can heal a little bit, because today is my, I feel like healing. Tomorrow I feel like breathing. Tomorrow I feel like signs and wonders. Just like you don't think about breathing, God doesn't think about healing or deliverance or whatever, because when he comes on the scene, he just does it, because that's who he is. Are you with me? I'm trying to make it very simple, but the challenge for us is our lifestyle, because we don't live a lifestyle of expecting the kingdom to come wherever we go, then we compartmentalize it. Like Lucille preached, I think it was last year, our little boxes. We love our little boxes. But people, we need to change our lifestyle. Because wherever you go, if you expect God is going to do miracles, do you know what he's going to do there? When you go to the shopping mall, then you know what, if you expect God, it was like in this week, I was having a meeting with this one guy sitting at the coffee shop and we're busy talking, and the next moment I get this intense pain here from my back right up here. And then I get a migraine and I just know it's not mine. And I look at the guy and I say, but now we're busy talking about all other stuff and programs and all of things that must be implemented. And I say, hey, before we go on, I don't want this pain anymore, but have you got a pain here in your neck? And you get migraines. And he sat there. But now it's here in the open area, right here next to the whatever, cabana, whatever, abana, whatever there, on that side. So now we sit there and he says, yes. For 3 days, I've had these pains here in my neck and all over, and I've got this migraines, and I've just got a migraine. It just started. How did you know that? I said, no, the kingdom of God is about to come in your life. Let's pray. Right there. The next moment, these two little kids come at the table. They come and they want to collect when they've got their little shooter stuff that they want to sell with their Halloween things and all of that stuff. And they come there, and you know, and I say, can I pray for you? I'm not going to buy your shooters. I just shoot the devil. I don't shoot your stuff. But in any case, let's just, yeah. And so here we pray for him. The kid begins to cry. 6-year-old kid. Because God told him that God wants to be his daddy. And he said to me, but he hasn't got a daddy. He lives here on the other side of the flats, the municipal flats. So do you expect the kingdom to come when you drink coffee? You expect the kingdom to come when you drive around. Because let me tell you, if Jesus is in the room, it's going to happen. If Jesus is around you, you're going to be like a virus. You're going to begin to contaminate people around you. People's lives are going to change. There's a lady here that has been struggling with chronic sickness. To the doctor, up and down. You spend lots of time on money, on pills, and this week you've gone again. Everybody, will you close your eyes? I can be completely wrong, but you paid 354 Rand this week. I don't know if it was last week or this week, but you paid money again for new pills. God wants to heal you. Where are you? Quickly, show me. Don't want, I'm not going to call you to the front. Where's that lady? There's another lady here. I don't want people to look around. There's another lady here. Your feet get swollen a lot. And the one foot is a little bit skewed from the other one, and God wants to heal you even as I'm speaking. Where are you? Just quickly raise your hand. Don't be shy. I'm not going to pray for you afterwards. When God speaks, just right now, where you sit, he's going to heal you. There's another person with back problems for the last 2 years. You like jogging, but especially for the last 2 years, it just doesn't work for you. You can see there's lots of pain here in your lower and middle back. Where's that person? There's actually two people like that. Come on. Thank you. Is that you? That you. Where's that lady with the pills? I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to show me, because I know you're here. God showed me. Is that you? Did you go and buy the pills this week? Okay, you can lower your hand again. Was that the mount? Okay, a little bit lower. Did you pay some extra stuff? Okay, cool. There's another person here that, and there's actually more than one person. There's about 11 people here. And this is your life. You feel like you cannot sleep at night. It feels to you like for the last while, a long time in your life, you've been sleeping for 2 to 3 hours. That's what you feel. You've been saying to people, it always feels like to you like you just sleep 2 to 3 hours a night. Because you get so much stuff and you just sleep uncomfortable. Some of you get dreams. But there are 11 people like that. Where are you? I want to pray for you this morning. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Where's the other people? 6, 7, 8, 9. Am I missing somebody? Just hold your hand up very high, because even as you're going to hold, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Where's the 11th person? I can't, maybe I don't see that hand. There you are. Okay, 11 people. Great, you can open your eyes again. I want those 11 people, I don't want to embarrass you. I want you to stand quickly. Those 11 people that raised their hands, we're going to pray for you right now, in the middle of the sermon. Okay, just stand quickly. Now, if you take a mathematical idea, and you think there are about 400 people here this morning, what are the chances that there will be exactly 11 out of 400 people that can identify with that word? Suddenly, you must make a decision. Is God real here this morning, or is he not? Does the word of knowledge work, or does it not? Can he heal, or can he not? Go and do your own mathematical equations. 11 out of 400 people. Did I talk to you before the time and said you must stand up or you must raise your hand? Hello? No. So Jesus, thank you right now that you, from this moment on, bring peace to their sleeping patterns. We command every storm to be quiet. We command every demonic influence to stop. Every physical imbalance, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over it, and we speak peace now to every storm in these lives. And Lord, we receive you to come and minister to us in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. Thank you, Lord, that these people will be instruments of righteousness. And Father, that you want to raise them up, Lord, and they're going to come to testify next week of your goodness, of Lord, how they slept right through the night, and they're going to sleep like babies, God. They're going to sleep like, Lord, they haven't slept in years. And we thank you for that release, but we break every demonic stronghold in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we release your peace now. Won't you just pray quickly as you sit for them, around them? We're not going to stand up. Just if you're standing around them, we just release God's peace, okay? The others, we're continuing with the sermon, okay? Just pray for them quickly. If you're standing around them, just lay hands on them. Just release God's peace, because not about me or about a guru or anything like that. It's about Jesus. And when we have got a service, do you know what? God wants to do what he wants to do. Okay, so while they're going to pray, we're going to continue with the sermon. Great. Okay, so that's how church must work. So God does many signs and wonders. If you have thought about it, some of you will be wondering, how on earth does that work? Well, I don't know. All I know is the Holy Spirit is faithful. And God works. And God is going to heal many people here this morning. You see, let me quickly run through a couple of things. I'm going to just skip a couple of slides. If you want to have a kingdom lifestyle, you need to know that everything in your life is birthed out of an intimacy with God. It's about relationship with Jesus and about relationship with the Holy Spirit. You cannot expect, and I cannot expect, that God is going to do some magic in our lives. Okay? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Woo-hoo. God was with him. But it doesn't say he healed some, and he thought better about, just go back, it just, he thought that, oh, I'm going to try this or I'm going to try that. No, he said, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Another kingdom. All, say all. If you go to the original Greek and the Hebrew, it means all. Not some. He healed physical and emotional healings. He healed all that were oppressed by the devil. Maybe you don't believe in the devil. Just look around you. Not the people here. I mean the world out there. Okay? Don't say you devil. Okay. But Jesus healed everybody. Hello. That was a great amen. So a kingdom lifestyle means that you and I come into a birthright, come into what is supposed to be supernaturally natural in our lives. You and I have got a birthright. We've got a spiritual birthright. And you can choose whether you want that inheritance or not by just saying yes to God. But it comes out of a place, and there's 8 things I'm going to quickly mention. Comes out of a place of intimacy with God. Don't expect God to do magic, because magic is about a show and about being hypocritical, jumping up and down and saying, God, come and do something quickly. And unfortunately, in the charismatic church, there's so much magic happening. You will only produce what you are intimate with. You will produce what you are intimate with. If you are intimate with pornography, you will produce that fruit in your life. You can be fake for a while, but it's going to start to happen. It's going to start to show through your life. If you're intimate with God and the Holy Spirit, do you know what? He's going to rub off on you, and you're going to rub off. I always use the example of my little daughter one day with this. What's that in English? Glitters. Yeah. I came to the work, and then everybody looked at me strange. Like, where were you last night? Yeah? What did you? Because I was full of glitter because I stewed with her. I rumbled with her, stumbled with her, wrestled with her. That's the right word. So I stewed with her the morning before she went to school, but she had this glitter because it was just glitter. And so the glitter rubbed off on me. So when I went to work, I was just glittering. But you know, God will rub off on you, and the world will see it. But what are you intimate with, and who are you intimate with? If you're intimate with your television set, the television, then do you know what? That's what you're going to produce in your life. The second thing is the power of God's word. It's God's word, Hebrews 4 says, that changes us. It's not us, it's God's word that changes us. The third thing of accessing a lifestyle is very simply living a holy life. And holiness isn't this water, this weird thing. Holiness is very simply living a separate, living a different lifestyle. Where the world says this, then I say no to that. I say this is God's standard for my life. I live a consecrated life to please Him first. Woo! I live for Him. I live to please Him. I live by His standards, not by the world's standards. That is what holiness means, living a separate life. You know, the Christian life is not supposed to be a great show and a great bless me thing. Do you know what? The Christian life, Scripture says, there's a single small road that you must walk on. It's not a wide road. It's a narrow road. I sometimes go and jog here in the evening. We've got like a jog club, and then lots of us, we run here up in the mountains on a Monday night in the single tracks. And then we run, and then it's like any moment you can fall or you can trip. And it gives you a sort of adrenaline, you know? It gives you like, whoa, this is so exciting. I may die now, yeah? Sorry, my wife is sitting here. I mustn't tell her that, okay? Louise, I'm just... But she prays for me every time before she lays, you know, must lay hands on me before I go. Because I normally come back with some sort of injury. But then it's so exciting, you know, because at least we were there taking some risks, you know. It's just boring to run on flat road and all the cars and all the fumes come in, you know. What, you know? You want to say one day on your grave, I've been driven over by a car. That's how I died. That's much better. I've fallen from the mountain. That's much better. Okay? Not that we're going to die. But you know what? When you do those single tracks and it's like risk and you have to focus and it's like, it's not like this, ooh, try so hard. It's just very simply, it's this adventure of following God's path for your life. But you know what? It's many times going to be a lonely road. Because in a single track, you cannot have 10 people running next to you. Just follow Jesus. And we all run as a family together. Don't run, go and run alone in the mountains. But it's very important that we understand that. A holy lifestyle. Then there's the fear of God. Scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Why do I say this? If you want to live a kingdom lifestyle, very simply, you're going to choose every day. If you want to live a supernatural lifestyle, you have to choose every day between the fear of man and the fear of God. And you cannot have both in your life at the same time. You're going to be confronted every day. It's like now with these people, I am confronted. I tell you, I want to die 1,000 deaths because people say, oh, you flow in the gift of the word of knowledge and you do all this stuff. It seems like so natural to you. I say, no, I want to die every day. I say, God, please, you know, if I miss it, well, I'm not supposed to have a reputation, but God, then it's going to be egg on my face and egg on your face. But Lord, you know, so I love what Angus always says. He says, I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. But you know what? It is so exciting. But you know what? Every time you have to say, what are people going to think? What are they going to say if I pray for them in Pick and Pay and they don't get healed and all of that stuff? But don't form your theology around that. If you have the fear of God in your life, it will come naturally. Okay, we're going to rush quickly. The last four. Discipline. Exercise. If you want to grow muscles, spiritual muscles, you must exercise. I probably can only do three of them, but... Yeah, I haven't used this for a long time. No, very simply, and as charismatics people, we have got no discipline. And God cannot use us if there's not discipline in your life. Hello? If you don't have routine and discipline, God doesn't come out of the wall and just jump on you and say, oh, you know, I'm going to use you to change the world. No. If you want to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, do you know what? You have to practice it every day. You have to live a life, a lifestyle. And especially where people don't see. You have to exercise. And you have to start with 5 kilograms, and then you go to 50, and then you go to 500. I don't know if there's anybody that can do 500, but in any case. Okay, but in any case. So discipline is very important. Then obedience. Living a life of obedience, and with that, knowing your identity and your authority in Christ. It's not about you, but stepping out because God says that is who you are. You know, the greatest challenge for Jesus was around one thing. The devil came with him with scripture to him, but every time he started, he said, if you are the Son of God, then. And that challenge is still out for you today and for me. If you are a child of God, he will always ask you those questions. Right at your identity of who you are in Jesus. Ooh. And that's why God calls us to a life of faith and obedience. A lifestyle of being obedient. The more you're going to be obedient, the more you're going to grow in authority. The more God is going to use you. But Lucille said it, I think last week, she said it, God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. God wants obedience. He says, if you love me, don't say love, love, love. I love you, and yes, I will follow, I'll follow. You know, lots of people jump around. You see them there at the transport as well. Ah, I'll follow, I'll follow. You know, then they go wild, and they jump up and down. And then, ah, Jesus, so in love with you. Oh, go left. What's left, Lord? No, no, go right. Oh, no, no, I just feel like a free spirit all over the place. And God says, do this. God, you don't speak. Lord, I've heard that you speak in the 10 suggestions. So our modern day gospels is about the 10 suggestions. Well, God in a kingdom always speaks in commands. He says, go and pray for the sick. Is
doesn't say, I'm going to pray for the sick. He says, you. You go and lay your hands on the sick. And they will recover. Good. Will you bring the kids? So that the kingdom can come. Woo! Okay, as the kids are going to come, they're going to come and sit in front. And church is about to start now. That was all an introduction. I want to give you one last scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. You guys just come and sit right here in front. Some of the parents, if you want to come and sit here in front with them. Hello, kinders. Julle lyk so beautiful vandag. Kom ons geef ons kinders 'n lekker applaus. Nee, Samuel, geef my 5. Kom, julle moet sommer lekker hier voor sit of sit sommer gou almal so lekker. Now this is the church, people. This is where church happens. At children's church. Okay. I want to give you one last scripture as they're coming in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. Okay? It says there, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. It says, solid food belongs to those, the New King James says, who by reason of use have their spirits exercised. Now everybody's like checking all the kids. So what it means very simply is, God wants you to exercise your spirit all the time. It's through exercise that you are trained. And that's why we do foundations. That's why we do Bible school. And I want to especially invite you at SOS, at the School of the Supernatural, we train you how to use the gifts. Because you know what? You need to be trained and you need to exercise it all the time. But it's your responsibility to wake up and go to the gym every morning. It's a choice you make. The greatest thing about running and jogging is just getting out the front door. Once you're out the front door, it's easy. But that spirit of duvet, woo! Daai gees van daai kombers wat so oor 'n mens kom in die oggend en 'n mens wil nie opstaan nie. Wie van julle kan partykeer so voel? Julle voel soos jy wil nie opstaan nie, jy wil net lekker laat slaap. Kom, steek jou hande op, hè? Dis almal van ons, ja. Kom, wie van julle? Wie van julle voel, ja, gees van duvet? And people, that is our biggest challenge, is just our comfort zone. Getting out of our comfort zone and going doing the work of the ministry. It's supposed to happen every day of our lives. And so, kinders, moet ek Afrikaans praat of Engels? Afrikaans. Wie kies vir Koza? Maar ek kan nie. Ek kan nie, kies jy vir Koza? Yes. Wie van julle verstaan Engels? How many of you understand wants me to speak in English? Okay. Wonderful. We're just having church here for a moment, so just relax, okay? Okay. Wat ons vandag gaan doen, is al hierdie wonderlike ooms en tannies wat hier so sit. Some of the ooms are a bit bigger, some are a bit smaller, but we're not intimidated by them, okay? Wie van julle ken vir Jesus? Wow. Yo. Yo, ek wil ook my hand hoog opsteek soos julle is te doen. Okay? Niks half maasies nie. Wat is jou naam? Christof. Is jy oom Paul se seun? Ja, ek kan dit sien. Nou Christof, wat ons vandag gaan doen, is weet julle wat? Jesus het gesê dat ons vir die siekes moet bid. Wie van julle het al vir die siek mense, wie van julle het al vir siek mense gebid? Okay, ek.
Yo.
Ek het ook al vir siek mense gebid. Wie van julle het al gesien hoe Jesus iemand genees? Toe julle gebid het. Wow, klomp van julle. Christo, wat het gebeur? Wag, sê gou hierso, sê gou hierso. So, praat daar oor die dingetjie.
Toe ek klein was, het ons kat omgeruim en toe bid ek om en toe hardloop ek weer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wie van julle het nog vir iemand gebid en het gesond geraak? Wie wil gou vir ons sê daarvan? Nie skaam wees nie. Kom jy gou, Samuel, kom hierso. Nee, wil jy nie nou nie. Wie van julle wil ietsie sê? Toe maar niemand, hulle kan nie vir julle sien nie, so jy kan maar net sê. Wie wil nog ietsie sê? Nou Christoffel het vir sy kat gebid, ter ook sy kat genees. Beteken dit Jesus kan vir enige iemand genees. As hy lief is vir jou kat, dan gaan hy jou kat genees. Nee. Ok. Nou wat ons vanoggend gaan doen, what we are going to do this morning, is we're going to pray for people here that are sick. Want dat is nie ons wat kan genees, dit is Jesus wat genees. So what we're going to do, is ons gaan gauw vir julle eers bid. En ek wil gauw hier, al die SOS mense, al die SOS span mense, en van die ouders, vir julle gevoer in te kom. Want ons gaan gauw vir julle bid, en dan wat ons wil hier moet doen, maar mooi luister. Want dis nou, ons is nou kerk, julle is vir ons die belangrikste hier so vandag, ok. Wat ons dan gaan doen, is ons gaan vir mense bid, wat siek is hier so in die gehoor. Want siekte is nie van die Here af, jy kan, verstaan julle dit? Wie van julle voel lekker as jy siek is? Huh? Vir wie van julle is dit lekker om siek te wees? Hey, luister wat ek sê. Vir wie van julle is dit lekker om siek te wees? Is dit omdat jy skool mis? Ja, daar gaan die hele doktrine by die agterdeur uit. Okay, so wat ons nou gaan doen, is daar is baie mense hier in die gehoor, wat 'n bietjie pyn het en wat seer het. En Jesus het gesê, ons moet bid dat sy koninkryk gaan kom. We must pray that his kingdom will come. And so today, we are going to pray for you. Vandag gaan ons eers vir julle bid en dan wil ek hê, as jy bietjie skaam is, vat jou papa of mama se hand, maar dan gaan ons vir siek mense bid. En is baie eenvoudig hoe jy bid. Jy sê vir Jesus, dankie, thank you Jesus, that you heal. Dankie Here dat u wil genees. Dis altyd God se wil om te genees. En dan sê ons vir daai siekte wat moet gebeur. Dan sê ons siekte, gaan uit hierdie liggaam uit. In Jesus naam. Maar voor jy dit doen, moet jy eers net vir die persoon vra, maar wat is fout, want jy wil mos nou specifiek wees. Nee? Esther, as iemand sy voet seer is, dan help het mos nou nie, jy bid vir sy nees nie. Nee. Ok, so jy wil nou eers gaan uitvind by hom, hoekom is sy voet seer? Ok, of wat is seer? En dan gaan hy sê, sy voet is seer. Dan sê, dankie Jesus, dat jy wil genees, net soos jy wil. En dan sê jy, ek sê in Jesus naam, vir die voet, wees genees. Is sal julle dit doen? Dis baie eenvoudig, is baie maklik. Want dis nie ons wat dit doen nie, dis Jesus wat dit doen, maar hy wil jou hande en jou voete gebruik. He wants to use your hands and your feet. Ok, so kom ons staan gou allemaal. Kom ons staan gou allemaal. Ek is so excited en ons is allemaal so excited, want Jesus gaan vir julle gebruik. Ok, en soos wat ons vir julle gaan bid, weet julle, Jesus praat met 'n klomp verskillende maniere met ons. Jesus speaks to us in dreams, en visions, hy praat met ons met drome. Wie van julle het al drome van Jesus gedroom? Hier is een paar mense. Wie van julle het al engele gesien? Wow! Ok, fantastisch. Ok, so hier is nou klomp oomies en tannies wat hier langs julle gaan kom bid. En dan gaan kerk, dan gaan ons begin met die kerkdienst. Kan die worship span gauw opkom asjeblief. Ok, are you ready to receive? Because God heals. And he's going to use you that he does. He's going to show you that he doesn't need your faith. Do you know John G. Lake prayed for his horse that died, and the horse got risen from the dead? Did the horse have faith? Okay, but the horse, we don't know what he had. But John had an expectation that Jesus is going to come. So we're going to start to just pray for these kids. I want everybody that is sick in your body, I want you to stand quickly and I want you to come out to the side. And it's not a shame to be sick. As we get older, we get some pains that we don't know where the pains come from. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're 85. And the other day, Cohen Lowe, yesterday it was Stuart's wedding there in Stanford. And their granddad, who is 83 years old, we baptized him a month ago in my swimming pool. Because he said God's word says he must get baptized. So he got baptized, 83 years of age. And then a week ago he got spirit-filled. But he had a beruta, a stroke, about 2 months ago. And since and that made him, he walked with a bit of a kiri. And he couldn't see straight. He was sort of losing his balance. And he got nauseous. after he had the stroke every day. And about a week ago, he got spirit-filled. And he says the most amazing thing happened since he got spirit-filled is he doesn't get nauseous anymore. God is restoring his brain, everything, his imbalances. And that woman is 83 years of old. 83 years of old. What English is that? 83 years old. And it's just a reminder that it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old, God still heals. And the Umisama preached a sermon last night while he was supposed to do the prayer for the food. I love it. On fire for Jesus. No retirement in this age. Just the kingdom coming. So if you're sick in your body, there are two groups of people here. If you're sick in your body, or if you don't know Jesus, then this morning, Jesus is going to be your Savior. He's going to save you. If you're sick in your body, he's going to heal you. There's a lady here, I don't know where you are, but for 13 years, you have been fearing stuff following you. And God wants to heal you. There are three people here, I feel, you are not happy with your physical, the way you look physically because of infirmity and sickness. And it's almost like a shame on you. And you're embarrassed. And God wants to heal you today. Because you know what? God never puts shame on us and he never embarrasses us. Jesus took our shame upon him on the cross. Jesus was blasphemed. Jesus took it all on the cross. So quickly, won't you stand? We're going to start to worship. If you're sick in your body, I want you to come and stand on this side. If you want to be saved, you want to know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to come and stand right here in the middle. Quickly, let's stand. And we're gonna start, and the kids are gonna come. Okay, kids, is jullie reg? Yes, yes. As jy net daar so kry. As jy doof is, as jy nie kan sien nie, as jy siek is, then this is it. I want you to form a line here, two lines or three lines, so that the kids can come in between. Okay, I want everybody to be quiet. Shh, almost shh. Okay, kinders, dit gaan nie oor julle nie. Dit gaan oor Jesus wat genees. Okay. Maar ek gaan gou bid dat Jesus julle hande en julle voete sal gebruik in julle monde. So ek wil hê jy moet so met jou hande staan. Staan net so. En nou gaan Jesus vir jou iets gee. En al wat jy gaan doen is jy gaan lê daai hande. Jy gaan dit miskien nie sien nie, maar wat hy vir jou gaan gee, jy gaan lê jou hande op die mense en dan gaan jy bid. Okay. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you said you're just looking for mouths and hands and feet to be laborers. So we give you our hands. We pray, Lord, that you use these hands to heal the sick today. And Lord, as we're going to lay it on people, people are going to, Lord, experience even electricity going into their bodies. Lord, we thank you that we can take authority over every sickness, over every disease, over every lie, and even over people that could not sleep for a long time. But today, we thank you for your miracles in this place. And thank you, Lord. We just want to say as a church, Lord, that we repent of many times and as individuals of quenching your Holy Spirit. But we say, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome to be the breath of God in our lives. Here, wanneer ons opstaan in die ochend, Heilige Geest praat met ons. As ons gaan slaap in die aand, as ons rein ons motorkar, as ons werk toe gaan, Heilige Geest, kom en wees die wind van God. En Heer, hier is ons, gebruik ons vandag. Use us today, Lord. Especially the kids amongst us in Jesus' name. I want you to spread out, people. I want you to spread out. Because the kids are coming. Don't hinder the kids from coming. Okay. So, gaan julle vinnig. Onthou julle gaan 'n vraagie vra. You're going to ask a question. What is wrong? And then you're going to pray. Are you ready to go? Okay. While we do that, let's just give a minute so that they can first ask the question. I want you just to tell them what is wrong. And then you receive from Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah.